Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your host, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also here, joining us, is our co-host, Ryan, a.k.a. the number one Disney dude.
Hi, guys.
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper, here to guide you through this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Another long over in due installment of Dudes Drink Disney. We haven't done one of these in a long time.
Yeah, I think we oversaturated the market there for a while, but... And give us a reason to do one, we will do one in a heartbeat.
You know, we recently did some restaurant reviews of our most recent sojourn to Walt Disney World.
Sojourn? And I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you for that one. Did you just use the word sojourn?
Sojourn, yeah.
Sojourn. Pardon me. I didn't know this was a classy show.
All right, I guess we've jumped into a whole new realm. Wow. Okay.
A whole new.
Yes. So during our recent bender at Walt Disney World.
That's better. Thank you.
Yep.
We got to sample a bunch of bars. We had a little event called Drinking in Circles, and it is known as the Rose Bowl of all Walt Disney World drinking plans. It's the granddaddy of them all. It's the OG tour of the resorts on the monorail loop. And it was a lot of fun. But we wanted to kind of go into some of the things we tried and sampled at the various bars we stopped at that night. And then we ended it with a nightcap at the hotel we were staying at. And at the top of that hotel, at the Dahlia Lounge, which would have been over in the Coronado Springs Resort, right? That's where it was, yeah.
In this week's episode of giving reviews on things we don't remember.
Actually, I do remember that night because we were kind of in charge, so I was kind of in control until we, yeah.
That makes one of us.
Until we had to give out the shirts, right? So.
Oh, let's not even go over that.
That was a nightmare. Jeez. Okay. Christ. All right. So we started, if you're going to do a monorail bar crawl and sample some of the restaurants and or bars, in this case, exclusively bars, you got to figure out a way to get there and start, right? So you can either Uber to your first hotel, or as many people do, you can take the buses to the Magic Kingdom, and from there you can either take the monorail or a launch to your first hotel property to start. And we did the latter. We took the launch from the Magic Kingdom, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and we rode out across to the Polynesian Resort, where we grabbed a little lunch at the Kona Cafe. What do you guys think of the Kona Cafe, by the way?
I'm a big fan of Kona Cafe, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In this case, we had lunch. I had a burger with pulled pork on it. Carl, I think we had the same thing, if I remember.
The Kona burger, right?
Yeah, Kona burger.
And pastrami and corned beef on top of a burger. Yeah.
It was really, really good. But, you know, because we're us, you know, we started drinking as well before the drinking event, which, you know, Lord love some pregame, you know, so it is what it is. But the drinks were good. The food was good. The wait staff was excellent. We had a really great server. All in all, big fan of the Kona Cafe.
Yeah. It was nice to have lunch with all three of us to kind of kick things off. That was, you know, you guys had just gotten in You just got in that day and went straight there, Ryan, right?
Yeah. You guys and Brad was with us too. So yeah. The four of us were together. And but yeah, I literally came in, I dropped my bags and jumped on a bus to get to the TTC and joined you guys on the launch.
Yeah. Worked out well. So we had Mai Tais there, the original Mai Tais, which you can get all over the Poly. That's what we all started out, right? Which is a
glasses. The glasses were really nice. I wanted to put one in my pocket and take it home with me.
I think they've had those glasses now for like 50 years. I mean, it's, you know, I remember those going way, way back.
Yeah.
That's the standard Mai Tai tiki kind of glass or cup. John, we have a kind of a habit when we get together for lunch, wherever we are, having Mai Tais.
I know. It's kind of weird that it's become that kind of weird unsaid tradition. Then again, I mean, we lately tend to meet and have some type of Chinese food or Asian or something inspired like that, it seems lately. But I don't know. I think you're a bad, well, we already know you're a bad influence on me anyways, but
I'm glad you changed it, because I think was definitely the wrong statement. we know.
But yeah, I mean, the Mai Tai was delicious. I mean, it set the mood for the rest of the evening. That's definitely for sure. It was really, really good.
Yeah. So our first official stop for the day was the Tambu Lounge. Side note, we stood in line at the right time after lunch, and we were able to get a nice large group to Trader Sam's, a reservation for when we wanted it, about 4:30. Thanks to all three of us being there, and as you mentioned, Brad and Professor Leisure stumbled onto us in the lobby, and he was able to get a table too. So we got like 30 people reserved. But the official start was in the Tambu Lounge. Now, those of you who don't know, that's kind of, you know, a great place to start. It's in the Poly's Great Ceremonial House. It's right in the kind of the wait area if you're going into Ohana. But there is a little area to sit there and some high tops and low tops and a nice bar there. It's a great tiki drink bar. And there's always some great bartenders there. And I was able to chat with a couple of them who were long timers. And we had them mix up a different Mai Tai. It was actually original Mai Tai concoction from 1971, a little less sweet than the Mai Tais we had had earlier that day, a little bit more tart. And we were able to mix up those, and we just kept those coming and met a bunch of people, and we had some of the original OG Mai Tais. And so if you are there and a chance and you can talk to someone about, hey, what was the original Mai Tai recipe? Kind of a secret menu item there. I've been there 4 or 5 times and they will do that. I think we have some great pictures of that drink. I know we did a flash video describing it that day. But what do you guys think of those Mai Tais compared to the first Mai Tais we had?
Already several Mai Tais in, so at that point Mai Tai tasted like a Mai Tai to me, but it was good. It was definitely good. You know, again, classic style, the service that they provided them in and the glasses that they provided them in, you know, is it gives a different touch to it, right? They were very good. Great service once again. It also helped that Carl basically just had them making just two at a time for 30 minutes straight so that everybody could have their fair share. But just before John chips in with his thoughts on it, I do want to give a shout out to the service staff there, because the cast members there, we had a large group, roughly 40 people there, and that's not a very big space. So we overran the place and to the point where we had taken up like 3 tables, but we were ordering from the bar. Those tables are generally reserved for servers. Right. So just going to throw a tip out there for people that are, you know, listening to this. If you do this and you have a large group or you sit at one of those tables and you're ordering from the bar, throw a tip at the servers, right? Because they don't make money unless they're bringing you the drinks and charging you and you're tipping them on the tab. So if you're ordering from the bar, they're missing out. So we made sure that we took care of those servers too, so that they weren't worried about losing their money. And they were super gracious and they were great help. And it was great.
We also, when the kitchen opened, we also ordered our appetizer
through
that server. Make sure we took care of her that way too. But yes, good point, Ryan. Thank you.
So John, what do you think of the Mai Tais?
Again, I mean, we were already a few deep at that point anyway. So the initial thought was, okay, it's another Mai Tai. Okay, same is. But I'm not going to lie, I like the original a little bit better than the start of the day. It just hits a little bit differently. I mean, I've had a few different Mai Tais now over the years, and this one just, it hit differently. It just tasted a little bit better than some of the other ones. That just a little difference definitely made
all the difference. A little less sugar means a lot. You know, if you're out drinking, you know, you don't want sugar and all that. It's so hard, especially with tiki drinks and that sort of thing starting off. They're going to be sweet. They're going to have juices in them. So you kind of get the balance. I love that one. For me, it is nostalgic. They float the orchid in it, so you get a whiff of that fresh flower when you're taking a sip of it. You know, we passed those out to everybody. We did order half a dozen back scratchers too, which are not another popular concoction. I didn't see anyone walking around with the traditional lapu-lapu, but Tambu Lounge is a great, I think, starting place. The apps are good. The cocktails are good. It's a great little bit of an upscale than a traditional bar. And it just set the tone. And I agree with you. So I was shuttling drinks back and forth. So I think by the time we left Tambu Lounge, I think I was between Kona Cafe and there, I think I was at 5. And that was perfect for me. Like I got at 5 and I kind of stayed there the rest of the day. That's why I think I do remember everything, Ryan. It's just kind of was nice, even keel from there. And there, then we went down and they started calling our tables to Trader Sam's, which is a perennial favorite of all of ours. And we got to do Trader Sam's. So I want to talk about this in the sense is John was at one table inside Trader Sam. I was at another large. I was at the longboard table in Trader Sam's. And Ryan was outside with some people in the outside version of Trader Sam.
Yeah, we had 3 tables inside of 8 because the maximum they would let us make a reservation per person was 8. No, I'm sorry. We had 4 tables inside of 8 because we had a couple. We had Brad with us who got a table, and Professor Leisure got a table as well. So we had 32 people inside Trader Sam's at the same time, which I think, round of applause really to us, because that's not an easy task. And we nailed it there. But yeah, so I was outside with the last group of 8. And the last group of 8 were people that either didn't really care about being inside or had been inside already and wanted to let other people enjoy it. I've said millions of times on this show that if I'm in Florida, I like to be outside and having a drink. So I had no problem being the person out there. Really great server out there again, you know, like I can't stop gushing about the service that I received all over the Polynesian. You know, three different spots, 3 great servers, 3 great, and the bartender that you worked with was great too, right? So but our server, I remember her name now, her name was Rebecca. And you know, I'm the type of person when I sit down for drinks and I get a big group and I'm clearly the one ordering that first round or whatever, right? Like, she was giving me grief, right? She was jabbing at me, and you can just tell the servers who have a personality and they can read that on people, and that can make an experience, right? That can drive an experience. So it's not just about, oh, how good was the drink that I had, right? It was, how was the overall experience? And she had our group of, I think we wound up having 10 outside, and she had our group of 10 in stitches a couple times laughing, you know, just giving me grief. And I'm happy to be the brunt end if it's making people have a good time. I don't care. Right. So super fun. Shout out to Rebecca. She also works at Paddlefish. So if you see her there, you know, tell her that the guy she doesn't remember at all says hello. But yeah, super fun time. We had a number of different drinks outside, but it's all the same menu as what's inside. It's just served outside. Right. So we had a number of different drinks that we were trying from, and it's everything that you could expect from Trader Sam's. The drinks were fantastic. absolutely great.
Jonathan, share your experience inside of Trader Sam's.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't my first time there. I've been there before, but the atmosphere in there, it's such a cool experience where if someone orders a certain drink, a certain effect goes off, another drink, a different effect goes off. The bartenders are so lively, so involved in everything. The atmosphere alone is just what's so cool. And then you've got the different lighting with certain drinks, certain things happen again like that. It's just a really cool atmosphere. Again, for Disney, with such a small space, it's so rare to see. Because again, most of the Disney bars and everything, they're a decent sized space because again, they want to accommodate a large set of folks getting through the door and ordering at a certain time. This is the complete opposite. This caters to that small vibe atmosphere. And you really do feel like you're in a tropical little bar that's just meant to hold just a few people. You don't really feel like you're at Disney. And again, it gives off that feel of that special Disney vibe. It's awesome. It is. It's an experience that you got to do. You really do.
John, what did you drink? Do you remember?
I honestly don't even remember what I ordered. Some type of rum drink at this point. I was trying to stay smart because I knew what was ahead of us. And I just can't recall what I ordered.
He was trying to stay smart, so he doesn't remember anything at that point.
Yep. Yep, pretty much.
You know, I should have mentioned this. Actually, our server did a really good job. They have a drink that's a zero proof drink called the Polynesian Punch. And she actually was like, it's one of the best tasting drinks. She's like, I can have it made with alcohol for you if you want. And I was like, yes, please, I'll try it, right? So I did have the Polynesian Punch with vodka in it, which was very good on the outside. But I think I stuck to the Tahitian Torch after that was my next several libations.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I had a bit of a different experience. Here's what I'll tell you. We did get a lot of people inside who'd never been inside. So I had fun watching their reactions to the drinks, watching them look around, laughing and joking. Jamie Noble, who's been on their show, sat next to me. Shout out to her because we had a lot of funny things going on. And our table had a lot of people that were newfound friends. And it was, their first time. So I enjoyed that piece of it. But I think I had the one bad experience about the whole group and even through the whole tour. We had a server who just could not get it together for whatever reason. I ordered the Aoa, which is a famous drink. It's one where the tiki dog Aoa goes crazy. The storm and the rain and everything in the room happens. Aoa is a drink for two. I had it for just me. And so she kind of looked at me like, really, you're going to drink that as one? I said, yes, I am. And the Aoa has some effects that come to it, including the center is lit on fire and you throw cinnamon and carmine on it and it kind of sparkles like a volcano and you kind of throw it in as they're playing the music. Well, her lighter couldn't light the liquid flame in the center of the drink. She kept trying and trying. I said, you got to do it again. And she's telling me to throw the stuff in. And of course it's not doing anything because it's not on fire. So that was a total miss show. And I was the only one at the table who ordered that. Jamie wanted to order the special Ursula mug and drink, and which was a purple drink for Ursula. And it was a rare limited edition. So she was like, okay, I'm all in. I don't know if I'm going to come here again. It's my first trip here. And Jamie's been on her show. She knows her alcohol. She works in the industry. And they came out with the drink on the side and the mug in a, like, separate. They were going to give it to her after. I'm like, no, the whole purpose is to have the drink in the mug and then they take it away and then give you a clean one. And there's something about all the inventory and everything. Then I explained to her like six times what we wanted to have done. And she was like, oh, okay, I can do that. And so she finally got it right. So at least Jamie was all set. I don't think she really cared for the drink, but she loved the mug. So But a lot of the people at our table had similar miscues, but they were still having a good time. So I didn't, I'm saying this now because I didn't want to rain on anyone's parade that day. We're all having a good time, but yeah, we had a little, we had some problems with that and had some problems closing out the bill in a timely manner as we were trying to get to our next destination. Moving a group around like that, thank goodness for group chats and everything for us all to get going. And we did, but again, the good time had by all by Trader Sam's, even when there's something that goes awry, you're still going to have a good time to what John's saying. It's just a great place to be. But we went on and we decided to go next stop, Grand Floridian on the monorail. And we stopped at the Enchanted Rose. Now, have you guys been to the Enchanted Rose before?
No.
That was my first time drinking at the Enchanted Rose. I have been in it, yeah.
Okay. All right, so what are your impressions and thoughts?
Well, my first impression was this is a bad idea, right? This is a bad idea, getting 40 some odd people hammered at the Polynesian and then getting on the monorail and going to the Grand Floridian. That was my first thought. But truth be told, again, another really great experience with another great server, at least in our, at our table. You know, very attentive. I do know that we did have one table at least that had some problem getting the bill and getting that squared away. But at least for us,
yeah, we were together, Ryan, right? You, me, and Steve, and
yeah. Our table was me, you, Steve, and this is where the memory starts to fuzz out a little bit for me. Margaret and Jack.
Margaret and Jack, yep.
As well, Margaret's also an MVP and her husband. Were with us. Very, very sweet people, wonderful people. But anyway, so we sat around, we had it. It was nice because after all the wildness that happens at Trader Sam's, it was really nice to kind of take a step back, slow down with their drinks, you know, get out of that party mode for just a few minutes. It's a lush environment, so it's more chill, it's more relaxed. We split it up into smaller groups. We're smaller groups of four or five or six people for the most part. We were kind of spread, some in the main bar, some in the side lounge. I think one group was out on the patio. So we were kind of all over the place in there, but that was okay. The fact that we walked up there with no reservation system and within 15 minutes, our whole group was seated.
Yeah, that was truly amazing, right? I walked up to the front of the group and I said, table for 36, please.
Yeah.
She looked at me and double-checked with her manager. And she was carving out tables, like you said, for six or eight people, four people. And it was moved pretty fast. And I'd say within 10 or 15 minutes, we were all sitting down having a cocktail.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I will definitely agree with you guys on. It's wherever we went, these cast members really did an absolute phenomenal job not getting overwhelmed for the most part at such a large group, just randomly showing up unannounced. There were a few double takes that did definitely happen from some of the cast members when Carl showed up and said, yeah, 36, we'd like to get seated. They're like, there was a couple looks like, you're joking with us. You're screwing me over. No. And they, once they realized we were being dead serious, no problem, accommodated us, made it all work. It was phenomenal. I mean, it true Disney fashion with that hospitality.
I mean, here's the thing. Not a single one of the places that we stopped at had the ability to place reservations, or we would have
done all walk up. Yep.
So they have to be flexible. They have to be agile. They have to be able to accommodate something like that. If it happens, we're not the first monorail crawl that's passed through that place. I don't know how many they get that's 40 people deep. Right. But we're not the first monorail crawl to walk through that place. So, you know, the fact that they were able to accommodate us in each place in their own way speaks volumes to the service. Now, everywhere we went was a deluxe resort, at least on the monorail, right? So, you know, that should be the high-end service. That should be the expectation, right? That you're going to get treated with kindness. You're going to get taken care of as much as humanly possible. We are not people who have high expectations, right? Like, we understand as a group of 40, if things don't work out exactly right, if they don't work out, we'll pivot, we'll make it work, right? We didn't have to. That's what's important. That's what's impressive about it, right? Is they made it seamless for us. But that restaurant or that bar in particular, it was just I think that was the most chill part of the evening, right? It was just a good kind of midway point to just kind of chill out, relax, you know, have a couple of drinks, sit down and talk rather than feel like you're going all over the place. So did really enjoy it. I would go back. I would 100% go back.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, the group that I was with, I had myself, Brad, we had Janelle, one of the other MVPs, and there were a few other MVPs as well. And our friend Theme Park Beer was with us in this group as well. It was very nice to kind of all kind of intermingle because there was a lot more newer MVPs within the group that I was with. And a lot of people kind of, again, looked at Theme Park Beer and were like, who is this guy? I don't know who this is. So it really worked really well to kind of be that liaison to be like, yeah, so this is Theme Park Beer. This is what he does. This is kind of what his thing is. And this is kind of how it relates to everything. And kind of explaining that, it kind of broke the ice a little bit and everyone kind of started to open up and it kind of worked really well. And it was nice to actually chat with a lot of newer MVPs that hadn't understood really what we were. They got excited when they say, ooh, Monorail call, it's the dudes, let's go drinking with the dudes, not realizing that there was a little bit of a purpose built into that a little bit
other than being
drunk.
I think the thing is, yeah, that's always a purpose. I don't think anybody realized you know, I think the thing is too is that, you know, shout out to the MVPs as a whole, that's our group, right? Like, we're a very welcoming and open bunch, and it's known from the minute you join the group, right? Like, we're pretty open to most people, and most everybody in the agency is like open arms, right? You're our friend until you give us reason not to be our friend, right? Is kind of the way we take things. So I don't think it took much for those guys. And Professor Leisure had been with us before, so he'd experienced that. He'd met some people beyond just us in the past. But like you said, John, there were four or five or six new MVPs that had never met anybody or met limited people before that were joining that group too. We had several listeners that were there that haven't been on the show, but listened to us. Brittany and Dominic are two. And then we also obviously had a couple people who had been on Theme Park Beer and Professor Leisure. And then Greg was with us and a couple of Greg's friends and Katie was with us, right? So some other people that we've, you know, gotten to know through Twitter and stuff like that. So a really good group. And yeah, to your point, John, very, very open, very welcoming, very, very fun. And I hope we expand it. I hope every year we get more and more people come hang out with us because it's so much fun to do that stuff.
So let's get into the drinks, guys. What did you have for a cocktail at the Enchanted Rose?
Bourbon and Seven. I went super simple at that point, right? I didn't go anything special off the menu. For me at that point, I just needed something that wasn't like, now, mind you, the citrus and Seven is probably still not great, but I needed something that wasn't like pineapple or orange or things that were tearing apart my stomach at that point. You know what? I take that back. I went Jameson and ginger ale.
Yeah, actually. You went Jameson and ginger.
Yeah, I take it back. I did. I went Jameson and ginger ale for that exact reason. A little ginger ale to help the stomach a little bit with all the fruity stuff and sugar that I had been putting in it prior to that. So that's a go-to for me if I'm drinking long haul. And I know I need that somewhere in the middle, I'll go to JMO and ginger. My other go-to obviously is bourbon and Seven. So those are my go-to for everything.
John, what about you?
So I went with the seasonal old fashioned. I actually remember what I got here. Cause I remember having a conversation with the bartender about kind of debating between a few different things, and the bartender, the server rather, talked me into this old fashioned. I'm glad they did. It was delicious, and it was kind of just what I was looking for at that point after having the real sweet stuff over at the Poly. This kind of helped that nice transition to something a little bit not as aggressive on the sweetness, but it kind of still kept in that range that I was looking for. So
that's interesting. We are at two different tables and we're kind of thinking the same way. I've had the seasonal old fashioned there. It is very good. I had the traditional old fashioned. A lot of people around us were getting the Island Rose, which is their signature drink, especially a lot of the women, and it was more along those flavors. And I saw a lot of lavender fogs being ordered as well, which if you're a gin drinker, it's a great gin drink. But I too, John, stuck with the old fashioned because I thought it was time to get a little bit more traditional. It's all, I mean, all high quality liquor is served at that bar, right? And it's traditional craft cocktails that they make, and the bartenders, the way they make them. If you ever get a chance to sit up at the bar and watch them, it's really is a great experience, as some of the best bartenders on property are there, and they do a great night job. And I agree with you too. It was a great way to, we got everyone, you know, when you're doing throwing a party like this, you get everyone amped up and psyched, but then you got to have kind of a quiet thing, right? It's like going to a movie. There's an action part, and then there's, you know, a softer interlude before you gear up for more action. And it was a classy way to do that at the Enchanted Rose. We got some great pictures of us all as a group outside the Enchanted Rose. And it's something about everybody in a party mode against the whitewashed walls of the Grand Floridian. Everyone looks pretty sharp when they're out for a night of drinking. So we managed to cap that night off and get the group together. And it was back on the monorail as we went over to the Contemporary Resort. Now, we'll give you the review of the bar we went to the Contemporary Resort. It's tough with this group, right, to get into some of the smaller bars places, and certainly late at night, there was no way that we could get our group into the California Grill upstairs. It was just, that was not happening. But we had timed it just the timing was such that we were able to get a nice cocktail at the Outer Rim and then make our way out onto the fourth or fifth floor, right underneath the monorail, entering the Contemporary and with a view of the Magic Kingdom. Is it the fourth or the seventh floor? I can't remember.
Pretty sure it's the fourth floor.
Yeah, it's the fourth. It's the fourth floor.
Yeah, so we're able to now. The Outer Rim is what is known as a classic Disney all-encompassing bar. Nothing fancy, right? It's a place to get drinks. And the Contemporary is, you know, a little less themed than some of the bars we had previously been to. So it was a basic time to go up and grab your name your poison and grab a drink, which was perfect timing, right? Now that we were six, seven, eight drinks in, some, you know, some people probably four drinks in, but it was perfect timing to just grab whatever you wanted at the Outer Rim. Nothing fancy. Anything you guys can add to that bar?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I was 10 or 11 drinks in myself at that point. But no, I mean, you know, again, very well handled. There was one bartender, and for a few minutes, a bar back, but not even the whole time, a bar back. And this group of 40 some odd individuals come walking up looking for drinks, and they were great. Shout out again here, Theme Park Beer. He actually put everybody on one tab to make the bartender's life a little bit easier. Which I'm sure the bartender appreciated. And we all just kind of fed orders through. And truthfully, I mean, for 40 drinks, I mean, we were in and out of there in 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And that's super impressive because we weren't the only people in the place either, you know. So they did a really good job with that. And I don't even remember what I had here. I actually wound up tasting a few other people's drinks. Somebody had like some sort of espresso drink that tasted like a chocolate coffee, which wasn't terrible, but you know, I wasn't going to drink a full glass of that. I'm pretty sure I just got a margarita there because I was like, yeah, that looks good. I'll have that.
I think at one point too, because I ended up getting some food just to kind of get something in the stomach as well. I think you grabbed a slice of that barbecue chicken flatbread I had as well.
Yeah.
I think you came over, you're like, oh, this looks good. And I'm like, take a piece, get in there.
Yeah,
And you just wolf that
I
down. I'm like,
missed out on the flatbread. I can't believe it.
yeah, no, John's right. I totally forgot about it until right now when he just said it. But yeah, it was decent. But I was also 11 drinks in, so anything was probably good at that point.
Yeah, I would agree to that. I mean, that's kind of what I saw that. I'm like, I don't usually go for pizza, but I'm like, or flatbread rather. I'm just like, all right, yep, this sounds really good right now. Let's get it.
Did you get that at the bar? Or did you get that at the Contempo Cafe?
At the Contempo Cafe. I knew it was going to be a couple minutes, so I said, screw it. I need to eat something. I need to get something in the system because I didn't get an appetizer anywhere else. I wanted to make sure everybody else was getting stuff with the groups I was in. And I said, all right, it's been enough. I need to get something to soak all the alcohol up. So
what's great about the Outer Rim is you can get everything to go, right? Everything to go, and it's walkable. It's all, you know, plastic and stuff, so it's easy. And that's great to carry around a resort. And in our case, we were going out to that fourth deck to watch the fireworks. And I would say that 60% of our group was outside there. Some people hung inside or maybe had a different viewing place. We were starting to lose the crowd a little bit. But it was great. I actually filmed some of the fireworks show out there. I had a Jack and Coke, which I hadn't had in a long time. But that's what happens. Like you say, when you're 9, 10, 11 drinks in, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure I had the Sunset Margarita, if I remember correctly. And I'm quite positive it was literally the first thing on the menu. And I was just like, yep, I'll have that. Right? Like, totally.
So I know at one point, too, with the fireworks, you disappeared. You talked to someone and you ended up going up like one of the stairwells for a while as well. And we're all like, where did Carl go? And then all of a sudden I see you start just out of nowhere walking down a set of stairs. I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
Well, that's where Professor Leisure was. And it was a better viewing angle of fireworks.
Yeah. So you got we were below the monorail tracks, which is cool. You can see him coming in and out of the Contemporary there. You're so close to him. But when you go up those stairwells on the left side of the monorail, you get an unobstructed view across the lagoon to the Magic Kingdom. And you can also film. I got some great shots of the monorails coming in and out of the Contemporary from up there at night. Just some great pictures. And so that's why I watched most of the show from up there. And then came down and watched the rest of it with you guys. And then it was time to get everyone together and get over to our last destination. And happy to do a bar review at the Dahlia Lounge at the Coronado Springs Resort. I had never been to the Destino Tower and all of that. And so I was excited to go there. And what a great spot and bar that was. We were up there a couple of nights during our trip, right?
Yeah, I will definitely agree that that's the first time I've been there as well. And it was enjoyable that that night of this crawl, because I was staying in the tower. So it was literally just a couple floors down the elevator, and I was home for the night. So it was quite a nice, easy commute home. But that bar is great. The views out on that deck there are completely underrated. Like, it's not something that you hear a lot of people talk about, but you can really see pretty far. I mean, you've got a great view of Galaxy's Edge. You've got a decent view over into Epcot. You can see pretty far out based on that location. It's quite a nice view to end the night and just kind of sit there and just be able to soak it in a little bit. It really is kind of peaceful, especially late at night. At this point, it was closer, I'd say, what, like 10:30, 11, or just about that, if you guys kind of remember.
I think that's about right. We're pushing 11 o'clock.
Maybe a touch earlier, honestly, because we watched the fireworks and then we went straight there, right? So 10:30, yeah. Yeah, it was a good spot up there. Again, no idea what I drank there at that point. All I remember is you guys passing out t-shirts and then me making the mistake of offering to help, because that was...
That made it worse. That really made it worse. So I at one point I started throwing t-shirts at you, and I had the list because I was probably the most sober out of the three of us at that point. I'm like, Yeah, go give it to this person. Go give it to that person. Go give it to this person. And Carl's frantically trying to go through finding the size of the shirt. At one point, I'm just like,
I have a new process I've developed for next year. I'm going to have it all much more organized than that. I've learned my lesson. So
process improvements. That's what it's all about, right? Yes. So we've got a lean manufacturing going now with the shirts. But yeah, I mean, it was a good spot, good service. That lounge was a little different. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, they're accustomed to having people come up there at all times of the night. But I don't think they were expecting 40 people up there. You don't get a lot of Coronado bar crawls, right? So I don't think they were expecting it, but they handled it well. They handled us well. One of the servers, one of the bartenders was really great with me, but there was somebody else at the bar that was very clearly annoying him. And he did his best. That's all I'm going to say. He did his best, but, we had a good time there. All I remember from there is making a good idea with Greg, Katie, and Alyssa, who's not a new MVP, but it was her first retreat, that we were going to try and go to Jelly Rolls at that point. And I don't know why that was an idea, but that was an idea. And maybe I've told this story or not. I don't know. We got there and all I know is Greg ran ahead of us and then came back and said, oh yeah, they're full for the night, right? Like they can't let us in. And I'm pretty sure that was Greg just saving our butts, to be honest with you. I don't think Jelly Rolls turned him away. I think Greg said, this is not a good idea. Let's get these guys to go back to their hotel. So thank you, Greg, if that is the truth or not. But I know you're listening. Let us know if that was the truth or not. But we did not go to Jelly Rolls that night. And instead, I went to bed and woke up extremely hungover for breakfast with you guys the next day.
And that story has already been told in a previous episode.
Yes, that story has been told.
It's a great venue. John, did I ask you what you had to drink?
You did not. And I honestly don't remember. I ordered something. And you basically said, put it on my tab. I think I honestly ended up taking like two sips and then I literally chugged the thing because of all the t-shirt debacle. So I honestly don't even remember what I drank. I don't even remember drinking it, to be honest with you. Because after the t-shirt debacle, I was just like, all right, you know what, whatever. I'm just going to sit back and relax and just try to have some good company while it's still here.
Yes, I enjoyed myself after everything was done. And then I knew the evening was over and then I could kind of relax. So it's interesting. The bar downstairs at the Destino Towers and this one, they have downstairs more than here. But I was surprised at the amount of gin drinks that they have. I'm not a gin guy, but maybe it's something about Spain and gin drinks. But they're all over the menu and some people were ordering them. I know that they had some sort of a tequila drink. I don't think it was, I think I asked for something specially to be made. Like, you know, it might've been just like tequila rocks, you know, at that, I think it was actually, because I'd been at the Coronado the night before and I had tried all their different margaritas, which were wonderful at different places on the resort, but not there. But I decided to get the on future nights up there. I did get the Tequila Daisy without the grapefruit juice. And a lot of times when these drinks come in, I'll have them take out one ingredient that I don't like. And it's what's great about that is they do. The waiters get it right. The bartender gets it right. We had a single waiter there running up the last tab of the evening, and we didn't overwhelm them. At the closing, we ordered a bunch of churros. I don't know if you guys get to taste them, but I thought they were pretty good. Everyone who had them said they were really good for a Disney World churro. So I would definitely say from looking at the menu and being up there again the second night and seeing all the snacks that people ordered, like the different charcuteries and dips and things that they had, it looked like a really good tapas menu, and I would definitely, I've been there twice, I would go back again to enjoy it. It's a great spot, like you said, good drinks, good staff. it's tough, right? Because if you're not at that hotel, you know, if you're at Epcot, you can do Crescent Lake and go to all the bars and on those hotels pretty easy, right? And if you're staying over near the Magic Kingdom, you can get on the monorail like we did and go to all those different bars. The Coronado, you're really not going to go there unless you have a reason to be there. And, you know, I would say if you're there for a week and you wanted a different dining experience, it would be worth taking an Uber over to Coronado and going to the steakhouse and the Dahlia Lounge on the top of that resort. Different vibe in that resort, different things. There was plenty of great food and drink offerings throughout the resort, but that was no doubt their crown jewel. And yeah, I think it was a nice way to end our bender.
I mean, I attempted to not end it there, but yes, it was a nice way to end it. It should
have ended. Those of us who do aspire to higher things.
Yeah.
It was time to...
I had some seltzers in my fridge, and I'm pretty sure that after the failed attempt of going back to Jelly Rolls, I came back and actually grabbed some of the seltzers and went and sat out.
Because I was walking back to you. I said, where are you going? I'm going to get some seltzers in my room.
Yep. That's.
I know the night, the following night, I ended up joining you for a seltzer. Or one night, I ended up joining you for a seltzer because you were a couple rooms down from me. I'm like, screw it, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to continue the bender.
I am a binge drinker. I am not going to lie about it or hide it. That's what happens. I get on a roll, and once I get on a roll, look out. It's hard to stop me.
A lot of fun. Any concluding thoughts on our escapades of reviewing all of these bars?
Yeah, just one. We put this post out there for anybody to join us. And if you missed out, that's on you because we had a great time. We had a great group. Really appreciate everybody that came out and joined us on that crawl because they really made it a great event. It was a great start to our retreat. And it's something that I hope we do on a more regular basis. And I hope people will continue to join us because it's all about just having a good time. And, you know, anybody who listens to us now is either a prospective Disney goer or is already a Disney goer. And like, that's what it's all about, is going and having fun and making memories. And you know, I had a blast. So Carl and John, you guys did a lot of the legwork for this. So thank you, because it was an absolute joy. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I honestly can't take a ton of credit. Carl's the real brainchild here behind this. I mean, he's the one who started this concept, the one who really brought it to fruition here. I mean, I helped him a little bit with some of the social content, some of the graphic stuff along the way and all that, but he's really the brainchild here. He's the one who deserves the utmost credit of this one. This was a blast. This was something that I never thought I'd end up doing in such a large group with this podcast. Especially 5 years ago, I wouldn't have expected us to be able to host an event like this. And again, I really hope we keep doing this from years to come from this point on. So,
well, that's really nice of both of you to say. Thank you.
I was going to say, who would have guessed that John and I would both actually give Carl credit on something? Clearly, we're still drunk. Clearly, we're still drunk.
Oh, well, until we all meet again, thank you to everybody. I hope these reviews are helpful to you. We probably didn't do them justice. If you attend with us and you'd like to add a comment this week about the beverage of your choice and the favorite memory of the event, please do. It's always more fun when you comment on our posts. And until we all meet again for our next sojourn, later, dudes.
See you on that bender, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service.
Using a Magic Vacation Planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.